This isn't turning on. Can you, Cody, can you run this back down? Let's all stand together, turn to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. We're going to read a few verses here. It's a story we looked at last Sunday night before we revealed our theme. I want to read through the story. It'll be a different message this morning. I want to talk to you about how we can have a great year, okay? It's the beginning, the first Sunday of the year. And I hope that all of us want to have a better year than we had last year, okay? You say, well, I had a great year last year. Then have a greater year this year, okay? You say, well, I had a bad year last year. Well, then have a better year. Just kidding. Then it won't take much to have a better year, now will it, all right? So we'll shoot low and we'll hit it every time. Mark chapter 5, please. If you can crank it up just a touch. Mark chapter 5, we'll read this story. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when they had come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. So here's this man, and he's possessed, who had his dwelling among the tombs. He lived in the graveyard, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. One of the characteristics of someone when they're possessed, they have supernatural strength. And this guy, they couldn't even tie him up. Okay, reminds me of the story in Acts where there was one demon possessed and he beat up seven people at one time, and he didn't even know kung fu. But he had supernatural strength. He's terrorizing people. He's living in the tombs, and always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. He's also hurting himself. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. And he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? I adjured thee by God that thou torment me not. He says, what are you doing here? For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for there are many. This man was possessed by many demons. And he besought him that he would not send him away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountain a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and they ran violently down a steep place into the sea, for there were about 2,000. So there were enough demons to get into all these pigs, these swine, and run them off into the sea, off of a cliff, as it were. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. So the story starts getting around. And they came to Jesus to see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. They didn't want Jesus around anymore, amazingly. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with them. This man comes and says, I want to follow you, Jesus. I want to go with you. I want to just be where you're at. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not and said unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you for loving us. We thank you for your word. We thank you the story of this man possessed with devils, tormenting others, tormenting himself. Yet when he met Jesus, all things were new. His life was utterly changed. And he began to publish everything that was done to him. I pray, Lord, that you would help us as we go through this year. May we be changed. May none of us be satisfied with where we're at right now, but may we grow in our faith. May we have a great spiritual year. May you work in our lives and in our church, and may we do all to your honor and to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As we mentioned last week, as we looked at this story, this man was demon-possessed. Excuse me. Jesus cast the demons out of him. When the folks came back to see him, they saw him now not living in a graveyard, not tormenting himself, not tormenting others. They saw him seated, they saw him clothed, and they saw him in his right mind. They saw him that he was different outwardly. He was clothed and sitting at the feet of Jesus. They saw that he was different inwardly. He was in his right mind. By the way, God wants to work in our lives. One of the evidences that we are saved, that we are God's children, is that we are different. Things are changed. By the way, that's not just a one-time thing. That ought to be for the duration of our life. God ought to always be working on us. God ought to always be fine-tuning us. We ought to be changed. We ought to be different. Actions that we do, we don't do them anymore. The things that we think, the way that we act, we don't do them anymore. And when we have those weak times, when we do something we shouldn't, we repent, we ask for God's forgiveness, and we get back on the right track, and we go forward. We ought to be different. This is a time of the year when people think about what the world would call resolutions. Okay? We sit there and we think because we're emotional, because we had holiday time with the family, we ate way too much turkey, we had way too many enchiladas or whatever it is you ate, and you're sitting around and you're thinking, there's some things in my life I want to change. By the way, that's good. Making changes, being changed, is a scriptural principle. It ought to be taking place in our life. Why do people make New Year's resolutions? Why do we want to change? Well, there are things in our life that we don't like. If each of us were honest and we think about our life, there are things in our life that are just not pleasing to us, and we desire to be different. We desire to change those things or to have those things changed. Or there's something in our life that we want to do. Maybe there was something we've been thinking about, we've been wanting to do, we know we're supposed to do, and we just never get around to it. But God wants us to. Or there's something in our life we just flat out want to change. Now, if you are going to have a great year, if you are going to be able to look back when we do this again next year, 2015, and you look back at 2014, will you be able to look back and say, God did great things in my life? See, because like this man here, we cannot go out and tell what great things the Lord has done for us if, in fact, he has not done great things for us. And by the way, if he does not do great things for us in our life, it's not that he doesn't want to. It's just that we're not allowing him to. We ought to all desire to be that. If we're going to be a church or an individual that brings honor and glory to God, we're going to have to make changes in our life. How can we do that? This is a different type of message than normal, but I want to give you some practical things this morning that can help you to have a great year. It's Fresh Start Sunday. People think at the beginning of the year, all of us have some area in our life where it's like, you know, we're waiting for the calendar to flip so we can get started. You know, I'm going to have a diet this year. So you know what we all did for the last 2 weeks? We made up for this whole year of dieting in 2 weeks. Okay? It's like, you know, I'm going to diet this year as we have a cup of hot chocolate, as we're eating another Twinkie or pumpkin pie with Cool Whip on it, piece of cheesecake, okay, or other godly type foods. By the way, when we get to heaven, they'll all be there. They'll just all be fat free. Amen? There's a special kind of sugar in heaven, and it doesn't add to your hips. Now, how can we do that? Let me give you several commitments, several challenges. Number one, I would ask you to make commitments to the Lord for this year. See, because a lot of times we say we want to do something, but we don't follow through on it because we've never committed to it. What are some things I would encourage you this year? And there's many. You look at your life and some things you want to do. Make a commitment to do it. But let me just give you a few things that our church encourages you to do and God wants you to do. I would encourage you, read through your Bible this year. Read through your Bible this year. Okay? You say, I don't have a Bible. Talk to your Sunday school teacher. He's rich. He'll buy you one. Okay? Read through your Bible this year. We should be up to chapter 15 in Genesis if you're following the church's Bible reading schedule. But I encourage you, nail that down this year. Be faithful to it, okay? We want to learn. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 says this, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Matthew 4:4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And I mentioned on Thursday nights, we've been going through a series on the Bible. You know, we ought to treat the Bible the way we treat food. Okay? When it's time to eat and you're hungry, if the food's not on the table, how many of you get a little irritated? Right? Okay? Now, then on New Year's Day, there's a bit of confusion in our house. I thought we were going to eat about 1:30 or 2. And so I was in my room reading. I come out and say, hey, where's the food? It's like, oh, that's dinner. They're making dinner. I'm like, hey, I didn't eat breakfast. What do you mean dinner? They're like, yeah, we're making Salisbury steak and mashed potatoes and all the good things that we're going to have in heaven. And I'm like, dinner? I can't wait till dinner. So embarrassingly, I had to sneak out and run over to Del Taco and get a burrito because it's like, I ain't waiting to dinner. Okay. If you have me wait till dinner, it's going to be a very unpleasant afternoon. Now, the girls were doing some detail cleaning. I'm like, you clean, I'll eat. Okay? What if we treat the Word of God like that? After a few hours, I got to get some. I got to have some of that. We ought to have that type of desire for it. But it's something, because it's a spiritual discipline, we need to cultivate. I pray that you get in your Bible this year. Get that Bible reading schedule. You say, oh, I'm already behind. You know what? It's not that hard to catch up. Okay, so you say, I didn't even have a Bible reading schedule. You know what you do? Here's what you do. You can read today's, and then for the next 4 days, read 2 days worth. You'll be caught up. It doesn't take that long, but we want to get in God's Word. And I would encourage you to make that commitment. God wants you to read His Word. I would also say, letter B, make daily prayer a part of your life. About a month ago, went into the hospital. We did a little series on Sunday night on prayer because prayer is very, very important. Continue to pray for our pastor. Amen. But God can do wonderful things, but we have to ask Him. We have to spend time in prayer. That's why this year on the Bible reading calendar, we just put a little, it's not earth-shattering, but we put a little box. Did you pray today? Spend some time in prayer. You say, I've never prayed. You know, it's just talking to God. There's no wrong way to do it. Now, there are things you can do, and if you need help in prayer, but, you know, it's like when I go to talk to my wife, it's no wrong way to talk. Well, there is a wrong way to talk to my wife. Say, how do you know? None of your business. Say, how do you know is the wrong way to talk to your wife? She gets silent or she gets loud. One of those two things, you know you said the wrong thing, all right? But there's no wrong. You talk to her. She's a person. I have a relationship with her, and so I talk to her as my wife because I have that relationship. You have a relationship with God if you're saved. He is your father. You are his child. Spend some time, okay? You say, I have things in my life I'm trying to work on. I have some things that bother me. Bring those to the Lord. He wants you to bring those things to him. But make a commitment. I'll read my Bible and I'll pray. letter C. I would encourage you also, or next one underneath, make your commitments to the Lord, have faithfulness in your church attendance. Faithfulness. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking. The word forsaken means abandon. Not abandoning, forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Do you know all of us need encouragement? Do you know all of us need exhorting? And we get that with God's people. Listen, you're not going to get that at work. Hopefully I get at work. I work here at the church, okay? But I've worked at places you didn't get that. I worked at a place, a warehouse, they knew I was a Christian, and this guy thought my name was a cuss word. And he would just walk over, he says, hey, blank. I'm like, well, have a good day too. Okay, that was just my nickname to him. It was a cuss word. I'm like, wow, I really love that guy. I didn't really love him, but I should have. But it's just, we need encouragement. Come somewhere where God's people are going to be here, and they're going to give you the encouragement you don't necessarily get somewhere else, so that when you go out to the workplace and they're getting on you, you can be a spiritual encouragement to them. But bottom line, either way, God says don't forsake assembling to ourselves together. I would encourage you, say, well, I'm new to the church. You know, you need to be part of a Sunday school class. Okay, I think everybody ought to be a part of a Sunday school class. That's why we have them. They're kind of smaller groups within the larger group where you can meet some people. And so if you don't do that, I encourage you. Don't just come to the morning service. I'm sure someone's asked you or invited you to a Sunday school class. Go to the Sunday school class. Get to meet some people in the church and encourage one another. You come on Sunday morning. Obviously, you're here. I encourage you. Maybe come to some of the Sunday night services or come on Thursday night. And I know work schedules and so forth. But whatever you're doing, try to do more. Be with God's people and learn all that we can. But that's very important. I just remember as a new Christian, not knowing what to do, what the next step in my Christian life was, I just knew I was ready to serve God. I knew I was ready to forsake the old and go forward. And there's only one decision I understood to make. And that decision was, I'll just start coming to all the church services. Because I didn't know what else to do. And I came to the church services, and I got a Bible, and I started reading my Bible, and I started praying. But all that stuff I learned by going to church services and meeting some, I was an 18-year-old, and meeting some of these older Christians, and they were encouraging me, and they were helping me. But it all started because I said, I'm just going to start going to some more church attendances, and I'm going to be faithful in my church attendance, okay? We ought to strive to be as faithful in our church attendance as we are in our work attendance. Maybe not. We go to work because we're supposed to be there at a certain time or we don't get paid, and so we want to be faithful. Also, I would say this. Get involved in serving your church. Maybe that's a commitment you can make. Maybe you've been here for a while. You say, you know what? I've been here for a while. I've joined the church. This is my church. What can I do to be a blessing to my church? What can I do to serve? We've mentioned this verse often, but Ephesians 2:10, right after the salvation verse, for we are his workmanship, or new product, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. God wants us to do something for him. If you've been, you say, I have trouble finding that. Talk to your Sunday school teacher and we'll plug you in. We'll find something for you to do. Get involved in serving. And then I would say this, and grow in your giving. If you're a member of our church, if you're visiting, we're talking to members of the church now, but if you want to, that's fine. But grow in your giving. Acts 20 verse 25 says, I have showed you all things in that so laboring, you ought to support the weak and remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And by the way, if you're new here, you say, why do we take tithes and offerings and giving? That's what goes to meet the needs of the church here. That's basically what it is. To take care of the building, to clean up, the lights, electric, all that we do. Just basically, if it's our church, it's your church, we all working together doing what we're supposed to do, that's where the money goes to meet the needs of the church. And so if you've never done that, I encourage you to get involved in that. Someone has said there's five levels of givers in the church. There's those who have never given. There are those that maybe have given once or twice. There are those who give kind of systematically, not every week, but every now and then you'll throw something in. And then there are those who give systematically. We call those tithers. They've grown their faith. They're going to trust the Lord. They're going to give. And they tithe 10% of their income. And then there are those who we would call generous givers. These are those that maybe they also give our missions program. We support missionaries who go to foreign countries to start churches. They go to these countries. They're not allowed to work in these countries. They cannot go there and make any income. And so churches support them so they can go to these places where there are no churches and start churches and try to help people. And then also we have a building program we're in right now. Thank you. We had a great offering for our Christmas gift for Jesus, and the building's going forward. We're excited about it. I would encourage you, wherever you are, try to maybe move up a step or two. Let God work in your life, okay? And maybe that's an area you need to work on. Make some commitments this year. And then number two, I would also say this. Make some changes in your life. Make some changes. Excuse me. Growth comes by change. Say, how do you know your children are growing and maturing? They change, right? When they are born, they eat a certain diet, basically milk or it's mom. Then they get up to the baby food stage. Then they get to the baby food stage, then they start eating some of the table food. And then they get past the table food, and eventually they're feeding themselves. But it's a growth process. What happens as a Christian? We grow, and so as we grow, there are changes that come to our life. We talked about that last week. Growth comes by change. Change comes by addition. There are some things we'll add to our life that need to be done, and it comes by subtraction. There may be some things in our life that we're doing that God says we should not be doing that will kill our growth, and so we subtract those things from our life. But God wants us to grow. What kind of changes does God want to make in our life? First of all, I would say there are inward changes, our attitudes. All of us struggle with our attitudes at one time or another. Are you with me? Okay. Well, how does God change our attitudes? It's something called the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, gentleness, kindness, and I don't know what I'm missing. Thank you for coming. All those things. Okay. You say, how do those things become a part of my life? Well, as we let the Spirit of God use the Word of God to change us, God develops that fruit in our life. Because, by the way, those things are not natural. Some of those attitudes for us are just not who we are. But God wants us to have those attitudes. And so His Spirit bears that fruit. But maybe there's an attitude in your life, you know, I need to work on that attitude. You pray and ask for God's help, and you find Scripture, and you do everything you can to develop that attitude with God's Spirit. As you grow, it'll become a part of your life. Maybe there are some motives inwardly we need to look at. Why do we do what we do? A major motive we want to have in our church this year is everything is for the glory of God. God gets the glory for everything. By the way, Jesus Christ gets the glory. If I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. Say, how do you encourage people? Just lift Jesus Christ up. Okay, He's first and foremost. He's the preeminent one. What are our motives? God wants to change our, and sometimes it's our thoughts. Some of us struggle with your thought life. It might be, by the way, what you're listening to, what you're reading, and what you're watching. And this stuff gets in there. And by the way, that bears fruit too. Now, that's the bad fruit. But as the Spirit of God is a part of our life, He bears the good fruit. So let's be careful with our thoughts. If we change what we enter, our inward will change. And then what happens? First of all, we want an inward change. Then we want an outward change. Our actions. Things that we are doing that are not pleasing. If we change, by the way, if the inward changes, the outward will also change. By the way, say, how do I change my outward? You change the inward. If on the inside you're becoming what God wants you to be and God's starting to transform your mind, that'll show forth itself in its actions. You see, what goes in your mind comes out in how you live. So you cannot control how you react to certain things in your mind, but you can control what you put in your mind. And if you put the right stuff in, the right stuff will come out. And that's what we're looking at. Our actions will change. Our reactions. How many of you struggle sometimes you react to something wrong? It's, oh, man, I shouldn't have reacted like that. Well, grow in your faith. The more you grow in the faith, the more you'll be able to control those situations. And you'll want to react, and you'll say, that's not the best thing to do. And we've all done it. We've said something or reacted in such a way, and it's like, oh, man, I just made the situation worse. If you're married, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Okay? Your wife's done that to you. Or vice versa. It's usually the husband, isn't it? You say something, it's like, man, okay. As soon as the word came out of your mouth, it's like, I hope that falls before it gets to her ears. And it usually doesn't. There's an outward change. There's also an upward change. What do I mean? Our relationship with God. The things we mentioned, look, they're not a magic formula. But if we're going to have a closer relationship with God, should we not let Him speak to us? That's through His Word. Should we not speak with Him? That's through prayer. And these things come in our life, we grow closer to God. You say, I just don't feel close to God. How much time are you spending with him? It's like you have a friend. I had a best, you know, I have this best friend, and they moved away, and we're just not as close as we used to be anymore. Why? You're not spending time with each other like you used to. The same thing is true of God. We start to grow distant from God, and we start to grow, we just feel like there's not that closeness there because we're not spending that time with him. We want to have that upward change. And then we want to have a downward change. Most of us say, oh, that's usually where I'm at right there. What do I mean downward? I'm talking about down here on this earth. Our relationship with each other, our relationship in our families, our relationships at work. Do you know if you change, you get closer to God, you do some of the spiritual disciplines, do you know that affects every area of your life? It'll make your relationships better. Say, man, you know, we're new, and we come in here, we're struggling in our marriage. You know what? If you grow as a Christian, that'll help your marriage. I'm struggling with my children, or I have trouble with some relationships at work or some relationships in my life. The better Christian you are, the better those relationships are going to get. Because when you incorporate God's principles into your life, in our Sunday school class, we're looking in James, and we're looking at the wisdom of God. It's peaceable, okay? It's pure, it's gentle, easy to be entreated. When that becomes a part of our life, those relationships are going to benefit from that. And then in your responsibilities down here, all the things, the Bible speaks to all things of life. Now, let me give you this. We're getting towards the end here. Number three, you want to make your choices attainable. Okay? We think of all these things we want to do. By the way, it all starts with your relationship with God. Just work on that. But we have all these things we want to do in our life, all these changes we want to work on, whether it's a spiritual goal, whether it's a physical, we've got all these things we want to do, we have to make them attainable. How do we do that? Well, be specific about what you want. See, a person that comes and says, this year, 2014, I am going to be a better Christian. What does that mean? It's like, that's not specific enough. I want to be a better husband. What does that mean? Ask your wife. She'll tell you everything you need to know. Okay? I want to be a better employee. Ask your boss. He'll probably tell you a lot more than you want to know. You have to make it attainable. So if I say I want to be a better Christian, then I look back and say, you know what? I read my Bible through once last year. I kind of want to get closer to God. I think I want to read it through twice this year. I want to let him speak to me just a little bit more. I want to do this area of my life that I know is not where it should be. I want to strengthen this area of my Christian life. Don't make it very, very, very specific. Don't just throw it out there. Because look, if it's not specific, you're not going to do it. That's like saying, I'm going to be healthier this year. As you're driving through McDonald's. Okay? By the way, that's not real meat. I don't know if you know that. How many of you like horse races? You shouldn't, but that's where the horses end up when they're done. It's called quarter pounder. But it's like, I want to be healthier. Well, what does that mean? Got to be specific. Maybe I'll eat healthier. I'll exercise this or that. And the same is true spiritually. What does it mean? What exactly spiritually in that area do you want to work on? Be specific. If you're not specific, it won't happen. And then I'll say this. If you want to make your choice attainable, don't bite off more than you can chew. Here we go. You know what? I'm going to diet this year, and, you know, I didn't do good during the holidays. I got to make it up, so I'm not going to eat for 2 weeks. Good. Oh, hey, that's going to happen. Yeah, you can't even miss two meals, and you're gonna not eat for a week. But see, what we do is we get frustrated with where we're at to where we want to be, and so we try to overcompensate. I remember when I was in Bible college, it was my second or third year, and I was looking, and I was a little bit behind in my credits. I was just learning how to study because I didn't go to high school. But I'm like, and so I got mad at myself. I'm in my room. I'm like, man, I am behind. That's ridiculous. So I decided I was going to take extra credits. The full load was like 16 credits, and I took so many credits, I had to get approval from the administration. He's like, you really think you can do that? I'm like, of course I can. I got to make this up. And I did. I got straight A's, but I got sick. I'm like, you know what? The next semester, I'm like, I ain't doing this again. That was stupid. And we do that sometimes. We bite off more than we can chew. I didn't read my Bible last year. I'm going to read it 12 times this year. 12 times. So that's like 12 times 3 is, do the math, 36 chapters a day. And then what happens, you only read 30 and you get tired and go to bed, and it's like you feel backslidden because you missed 6 chapters. You know? And then I'm like, tomorrow I got to read 42. And then you only read 20. Then the next day you got to read 58. And then you know what happens? You ain't doing it. You know? Make your goals attainable. If you never read your Bible, you know what? Every day to get through it 1 year is a good goal. Because remember, the goal is inspiration, not, you know, I got to read 50 chapters. I'd rather have you read 3 chapters and get something out of it and let God speak to you than read 50 and like, what was that all about? I don't know. I was in a hurry. I had to get it done. Okay? So make your goals a reality. Write them down. Write them down. And have some form of accountability. Check on yourself. That's why, again, the Bible reading calendar is nice because you get a little daily report card. Where am I at? I'm checking it off. I'm going down the road. You know, the signpost. I got to here. Now I need to get to the next one. And then the last thing I would encourage you to do is help us this year. Let's make the church goals a reality. By the way, this is our church. It's God's church through us. Not just the staff. It's all of our church. We have some goals I want you to pray about and help us about this year. First one is we want to get the building completed. By the way, we're way down the road with that thing. Okay? The outside's about finished. I've been saying that probably within a month or so, like we said, about the end of January or so, you should be able to see the outside. Then we're going to work on the outside. We're getting the drywall. Then we'll start doing the dry. We're a lot closer than we've been. It'd be nice to get in it by the end of the summer. Now, I'm not making any promise. I don't want to do that. And then, you know, I know. When you build a building, I know, there's always something that comes up. Inspector whose wife yelled at her, I know, I've been there. But it's attainable. We can be in that building this year. Help us make that a reality. That's all of our building, okay? Let's get out there. Let's pray about it. That's the first thing we really want you to do is pray for it. When we have some work days, if you can put an hour or two in, help us, okay? If you're into the building giving, thank you for your faithfulness. Let's continue our faithfulness, and let's get this thing done. Help us to get the building done. And then help us to reach our area with the gospel. Really, that's what God wants us to do. The major way we bring glory to God is like Jesus told the maniac. Go tell your friends and tell everybody what God's been doing in your life. You say, what does it mean when we share the gospel? We're a testimony. We testify to what God's done in our life. Well, invite people to church everywhere you go. You meet someone, you get to talk to them. Someone say, hey, you go to church? Just let me give you an invitation to come visit us. You never know what's going to happen. Reach our ear with the gospel. Help us with our missionary endeavors. Pray for our teams. By the way, what Brother Board and them are doing over in Cambodia is phenomenal. It's unbelievable. I don't think we don't even understand it. We've supported many missionaries over there that have done good jobs, but nothing like what God's doing with that team over there. Nothing. It's nothing short of miraculous, which means they can't take the glory for it. God gets the glory. Okay? But let's pray for them. I hope you pray for them every day. I hope you pray for our team in Laos. Okay? Restricted country. Hope you pray for Brother Jay and them over in Thailand. They're doing a great job. He doesn't communicate as much, but I get emails from him. He's doing a great job. By the way, and we have probably 70 other missionaries we support all over this planet. Okay? Help us with that. Pray for them. And then just help us to grow. Our desire is for God to use our church to grow people to become disciples of Christ, like our last year's theme, loving God and loving others. Why? Because that honors and glorifies God. I hope that when we look back a year from today, you can say, you know what? God's done some great things in my life. But it's not going to happen on accident. We have to decide it's what we want to do. Amen. Let me just say this. We'll be done. Our teens were up at youth camp. Their theme this year was enter into Canaan. What is the whole picture of Canaan? When the Israelites came out of Egypt, they crossed over the Red Sea. God parted it for them. They came over. That's a picture of salvation. But that's not where God wanted them to stay. God wanted them to go into Canaan, the promised land, a great land, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land of houses and vineyards and crops that they didn't build or plow. And God had that for them. And they came up to it, and they chose not to go. What did they have to do? When they got to the Jordan River, God didn't part it for them until they stepped in. God said, now this is a life of commitment. This is a life of growth I want you to get, but I'm not going to force you. If you want me to part the Jordan River, you have to stick your foot in first. You have to make a decision. And that's what God wants us to do. Let's not be haphazard in our Christian life. Let's decide we're going to love God and we're going to honor and glorify him. And this year, we're going to grow. And God's going to do something in my life. Let's bow our head and close our eyes this morning.